Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you on the Prep Sports Report 52 weeks out of the year.
Good morning, Dalt.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning, Dalt.
You know, guys, Mark Lassiter is on assignment. Really, not, he's not on assignment. Mark is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where he is part of the celebration that Terrell Owens had in Chattanooga as he was absent, of course, from the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies that took place this weekend. And, of course, Mark was one of the coaches that made a huge difference in Terrell's life. Steve Savarese is there, along with Willie Carl Martin, three guys, that played an integral part in the high school career of Terrell Owens. And then, of course, he went on to the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga and then was drafted from there. And, of course, his story has been widespread throughout the National Football League and all of its all the people that cover it. And so, but Mark is there to help celebrate Terrell's way of being inducted into the Hall of Fame, guys. And while I just got major issues with the way that was handled, he certainly deserves to be recognized as a member of that Hall of Fame, Corey.
I agree. I mean, Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer, and whether you liked him as a player, disliked him as a player, his statistics speak for themselves. This is a guy who played with a broken leg in the Super Bowl. So, yes, he will be remembered for a lot of his antics on the field, off the field, but Coach Lassiter and Coach Savarese had an opportunity to coach T.O. at Benjamin Russell High School and have known him basically his entire adult life. So I'm very happy that Coach Lassiter had an opportunity to go up there and spend this time with him. And Robert Brazil, Dr. Doom, couldn't be happier for him. A guy who prepped at Vigor High School and was long overdue to make it to the Hall of Fame and will give his enshrinement speech tonight in Canton, Ohio, at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So congratulations to T.O. and to Robert Brazil.
You know, it's a pretty neat thing, all the preparation that's going through, and to know and to see all the things that Robert, all the emotions Robert's going through. And if you, and for us to do a sports talk show, whether it covers high school, college, or NFL here in Mobile, Alabama, we want to spend some time talking about Robert Brazil. Robert Brazil is a guy who is a giver. He's given back, and I really can't wait to see everything that takes place today because all the buildup to it, to see the conversations that Robert has had relative to his dad. And I just, you know, it's been an emotional time for those of us that know Robert. One of my buddies in Sylacauga had called me, and by the way, I want to welcome all the folks in Sylacauga on WYEA 106.5 and also 105.1 Lake Martin, the lake. One of my buddies in Sylacauga had called me and he said, tell me about Robert Brazil. And I said, I could write a book on Robert. Robert's a guy that has come back to Mobile. He's given and he's given and he's given. He went back to his high school, Vigor High School, volunteered to coach, and he was coaching football for many years on the sidelines. And you could see him there offering encouragement and often, sometimes doing it the way it used to be done. I mean, you know, he didn't mind getting right on a young man and getting right there with him and getting down and nasty and dirty and getting in the dirt with him and showing him how things are done. And he did that on game day and on practice days. And I've watched him many times as he did that. But the great thing about everything about Robert Brazil that I can tell you is great, but the foundation he had with his mom and daddy. Let me tell you a little story about what happened this past week. Robert was over at his parents' house and they were preparing to to come to Canton for the induction ceremony. And, of course, his dad has had some issues health-wise. But his mom was going across the street to help a neighbor. And she walked across the porch. She walked across the yard. She stumped her big toe, and she broke her toe. She actually broke her toe.
Man.
And the doctor, she's 86 years old now, guys, and so the doctor told her, said, you don't be able to travel. And she told the doctor, I said, I'll tell you what, doctor, you just cut that toe off because I'm going to Canton, Ohio, and I'm going to see my son inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame. You know, just stories like that, and his dad who's battled, you know, this disease that that we're so, we pray for it every morning for people here throughout the state of Alabama that have really made an impact on young people's lives and some of our own personal friends that are battling cancer. So, but I'm like Corey, I don't know where I'm going to be 15 minutes before, but I'm going to tell you, when I see it taking place, I'm going to be there to see what goes on today, and because of who Robert Brazil is. Corey, and I know you may be a little bit more familiar. I don't know if you're more familiar with Robert than I am, because I've spent so much time. He volunteered to coach boys tennis at Vigor. He and his wife started a tennis team with two people and ended up with about 24 people. And he'd come to me just about every day over at the tennis center, and he'd say, Coach, let's get some drills. Let's get something going here. And so that's just the kind of guy Robert Brazil is. And I don't know that there could be anybody more deserving for this honor. Here's a guy that waited 34 years to get in the National Football Hall of Fame out of Southern University. Walter Payton called him the most vicious, fiercest linebacker he'd ever been around. And that's a pretty good compliment, Corey, coming from one of the greatest running backs in football history.
I agree. I mean, you look at his Hall of Fame career. Now, he earned 7 Pro Bowl invitations and made a lot of the all-decade teams and played for Bum Phillips. But again, he is Mobile's first NFL Hall of Famer, because Mobile has plenty of baseball Hall of Famers. But now when you make that transition, you look across the water and Kenny Stabler being enshrined a couple of years ago. Now you have Robert Brazil, Dr. Doom, who went on again at Jackson State and had an outstanding career. So it went from Vigor to Jackson State onto the NFL. But his dominance, second to none throughout his playing career.
As a younger guy that has watched a lot of NFL, a lot of college ball, about the only plays from Robert Brazil I've seen have been from NFL films.
Sure.
I just want to know, what was it like, you know, watching him come off the edge? Because he was an edge linebacker, right?
Well, he was an edge linebacker. He's one of those guys now that people call you can call him whatever you want to call him, but he was a rusher. He was a pass rusher, and he was a guy that came off the edge. But let me tell you this, he didn't just come off the edge. He made tackles from sideline to sideline. And a lot of times they'd stack him up, and they'd move him back and stack him behind one of those tackles out there, and they'd run twists and things like that. And he was so dead-gum fast that he literally could go in the NFL. Now those hash marks are a little bit wider. He could go from hash mark to make tackles. He was the guy that used both those techniques. A swim technique was one that he learned early on, and just a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And let me tell you something. He didn't back down from anybody. I mean, he just really didn't. He was raised in that era where, you know, it was a, I don't like to call football a war. War is something very, very, very serious. But it was a skirmish. I mean, it was a skirmish. And, you know, and while I'm on that, we say a lot of people in the state and around on sports talk that are, they're just sports writers and things, they call football a contact sport. Robert Brazil made sure that people, and he told me this on more than one occasion, he said, football's not a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. It's a collision. You know, if you make contact with a car, you may just skin it up a little bit. When you have a collision, you're doing damage. And football is a collision sport, and that's something that we all need to recognize as we go through these turbulent times with people deciding about whether to play football or not. It's not just contact, it's collision. And Robert Brazil was a collision coordinator, and that's exactly what he was.
For those that are interested to find out when and where they can watch the enshrinement ceremony, the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony, it will be at 6:00 p.m. It will be televised on ESPN as well as the NFL Network, starting at 6:00 tonight. So make sure if you're not busy and you're winding down a busy day that you check that out, because there are going to be some emotional speeches that will be given and heartfelt speeches as well. But can't wait to hear Dr. Doom's speech.
Well, and the beautiful thing about that for us here in the state of Alabama is Robert will be first. I mean, he's the first one in the induction. His dad will be first. And I think there's a reason for that. And by the way, you talked about Bum Phillips. Robert's going to be wearing that belt buckle that Bum.
Oh, awesome.
That's kind of a way to honor him. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, presented by our good friends at Alpha.
Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
This is the day.
Oh, all right, welcome back to PSR. Prep Sports Report, 17 years of high school coverage. Corey LeBounty, Rick Cleveland. Mark Laster's in Chattanooga with one of his former players, Terrell Owens, as he celebrates his induction into the National Football League Hall of Fame at a different venue other than Canton, Ohio. So we hope Mark and Michelle are having a great time there. You know, guys, let's see where you guys are here. Let's talk a little bit about high school sports, and you Dalt and Corey to a certain extent are pretty, I guess, trivia stuff. I think maybe is something that you guys are kind of good at. So we'll see where you are here. Who's the best quarterback that ever played for Athens High School in Athens, Alabama?
Rivers.
Yep. Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. Where did he go to college?
NC State.
Good, both of y'all. Why do you think that football was ingrained in his blood so much?
His dad.
Okay.
His family.
They went out and threw footballs with him in the front yard, right?
That's right.
Okay. What about his dad?
You know, I haven't done a lot of research on his dad. I know his brother plays a little quarterback as well.
He did. Signed with Vanderbilt out of high school.
But, you know, the Rivers family, I do remember Phillip talking about, you know, what his dad meant to him and being able to toss the pigskin around with his family.
And his dad coached, right?
There you go. Dalt and Corey, y'all are double-teaming me now. His dad, Steve Rivers, was an outstanding high school quarterback at Sylacauga High School for Tom Calvin. He was also a young man who went to Mississippi State on a football scholarship. And a phenomenal football player in itself, just a tremendous athlete. Now, knowing that his dad was an outstanding high school football player who signed with Mississippi State, can either one of you guess what Steve Rivers' second sport was in high school, where he was also absolutely sensational?
Got to be baseball.
Okay.
I want to say tennis.
Corey's right on the nose.
Wow.
His daddy was a big 6'3", 6'4", high school quarterback. He was a state tennis champion, and that was the reason I started playing tennis.
Huh.
Was because of Steve Rivers. And I grew up right across the street from him, but you're exactly right. Steve Rivers was just an absolutely tremendous high school tennis player, and of course went on to play at Mississippi State and then became a high school football coach in the state of Alabama, and a great one, and moved up into the Carolinas and coached there for a couple of years while Phillip was at North Carolina State. But guys, I'm here to tell you that I'm not so sure that there's not a better quarterback now at Athens High School than maybe Phillip Rivers was when he was in high school. A lot of people don't know this. Alabama and Auburn both did not recruit Phillip Rivers until late, and I think Auburn came in and recruited him late. Alabama showed not very much interest in him. This young man that's now at Athens High School, a young man by the name of Logan Smothers, is a quarterback in the class of 2020 and just committed to Scott Frost at
Nebraska.
He sure did. I almost said Central Florida. But he did commit this past weekend to Nebraska. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you have the opportunity, you want to watch his film on you can go to AL.com and they have a video of him. I watch a lot of stuff on Huddle, which coaches have access to. And this young man is nothing less than sensational. He does the RPOs, and for those of you that don't know what RPOs are, it's run, pass, option. He is pretty doggone good at that, Corey, and I'm going to tell you, if you get a chance to watch him run, no wonder he's a track champion as well. He is really something to watch, and you need to keep your eyes and ears open because I can assure you that, and Paul Lewis tells us that Phillip Rivers was recruited as a tight end. Paul, you may be right there, but I can tell you this. I don't think Alabama recruited him to the point, if that's what you're saying, Auburn did. Auburn did recruit him, and they recruited him as a tight end. You're exactly right. I don't think Alabama recruited him, which is okay. I mean, they miss on some, and they don't miss on many while Nick Saban's there. I can promise you that. But this young man is something special. And, Corey, you really want to watch this guy play because I'm going to tell you, Athens is going to be in the hunt this year for a state championship and next year because of this young man. I can promise you that.
And what you like to see is Scott Frost comes from Central Florida. He uses his roots and his recruiting connections here to take him to the Midwest in Nebraska. And you look at the type and the style that Scott Frost played when he was with the Golden Knights, and it's going to be a situation where this young man is going to fit perfectly. Yeah. That's one of the reasons that Scott Frost came into this state and really felt highly. And, of course, we know when you commit your junior or early in your senior year, now that there is an earlier signing day, yeah, it's non-binding until you actually sign that national letter of intent. And because of that, it's going to be real interesting to see across the state of Alabama as the season is ready to begin here in a couple of weeks, how many commitments change, how many of those young men who were not being recruited early will come on late and get that offer in December, now that the recruiting time frame has changed from signing day being in mid-February now to being in early December. Early December, and I think that has changed the landscape on how these college coaches go about recruiting and how early they go about recruiting also.
And I don't think there's any doubt about that, Corey. I think one of the things that you're going to have to watch now is you're going to have to watch a lot of kids are going to commit early. There's going to be some commitments, and there's going to be some people that are going to get in here that hadn't been getting in here. Scott Frost is one who will. Scott Frost knows the value of high school football in the state of Alabama, having coached in Florida, and so I'm sure that he will have a presence, and his staff will have a presence here in the state of Alabama. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's more and more really quality athletes, Dalt, that are choosing to leave Alabama, and one of the reasons I think that is because of the way Nick Saban recruits. I mean, he's a nationwide recruiter, and they get the best of the best, and a lot of these athletes in the state of Alabama are going to, you know, for good, bad, or ugly, they're going to be forced to go to different places, and it doesn't surprise me at all that Logan Smothers is one of those guys that's going to get out of state.
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting with, I don't know if it's the advancements in technology, and like you just said, so many coaches use sites like Huddle to figure out where some of these diamonds in the rough might be, but now you've got, you know, coaches on the East Coast recruiting kids from Hawaii. I don't think back in the day, they only had so much ground they could cover to try to get as many of these recruits as possible, and so they would really raid, if you were the top coach at Alabama or top coach, you know, you would raid that part of the United States and get the best players in your area. But now you grab kids from all over America, yeah, and sometimes even outside of the country.
Well, and the beauty of that is what we're doing with camps now, and coaches are bringing youngsters in as early as 8th, 9th, 10th grade, and they're evaluating them, and you're going to see it. You're going to see more and more of this. You're going to see more and more 8th and 9th and 10th graders committing to a school, but that's not binding, and that's something that everybody needs to be cognizant of, is any kind of verbal commitment is not binding. That doesn't stop the recruitment. As a matter of fact, it encourages more recruitment sometimes. But there are a lot of younger guys are going to be committing to different schools throughout the United States. And let me tell you, that's not a knock on Alabama. That is a supreme compliment because of the job that Nick Saban and his staff do. And let me say this. I'm going to be interested to watch how that staff comes together this year, because you've got, what, 7, 8 new members on that staff this year? And they recruit nationwide, and if there's a player in Spokane, Washington, or Bangor, Maine, they're going to see him. And if he can play in the Southeastern Conference and they know he can play, then they're going to offer him, and it doesn't matter what his residence or his zip code is, they're going after it.
Oh, and how I wanted to know, with Saban, you just mentioned all the coach turnover with the staff, and you got good assistants that end up leaving for higher jobs at other universities. How much more difficult does that make Saban's job to hold on to some of those guys that the assistants have been recruiting for 3 or 4 years to go to Alabama, and then they end up, you know, with Kirby Smart in Georgia or some other places?
I think it makes it very difficult, but you just look at the foundation. When you walk into the brand-new eating facility, when you look at the championship trophies, the foundation of being a championship team and producing NFL-type players, doesn't matter what kind of assistant coaches there. As long as Nick Saban is there, they'll continue to get it done.
There's no doubt about it. And if those assistant coaches are hired to recruit, don't let anybody fool you. They're hired to recruit, one, and second, to coach that position. And that's the job that Nick Saban makes sure that he hires the best of the best. And don't think that they're going to take a back seat to anybody. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Babies into running around, hanging with the crowd, putting your business in the street, talking out loud, saying you bought it, this and that, how much you done spent. I swear she must believe it's all heaven sent. Hey boy, you better bring a check around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty low down.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Here I am talking off the air to the founder of Quarterback Country, David Morris, and we are blessed in Mobile, Alabama to have Quarterback Country here. And of course, David has done such an amazing job with so many young people that play the quarterback position. And also now they've opened up, Corey, they have receivers. They've got one of the guys that I think the world of, from Jeff Davis in Montgomery, at one time was working with him. Don't know if he still is, but David has really branched out and got a lot of different people working with him in skill positions, and I think one of the premier quarterback coaches in the South. And good morning, David. How you doing, pal?
I'm good, Rick. How you guys, Corey?
Doing outstanding, David. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report. Tell everybody who does not know about QB Country what QB Country is and where it's located, and then we'll kind of branch out from there.
Sure. So thanks for having me on. QB Country is a quarterback training and development company. Started here in Mobile, and we're in 10 locations across the Southeast. We just opened in Texas in Plano, which is been really, really neat. Been fun for us to get in Texas. I got a former NFL guy, Dustin Vaughn, running that location at the Andrews Institute, new location, in Plano. And so, yeah, what we do is we train quarterbacks, middle school, high school, college, and NFL guys. And essentially, we kind of have a program that is built for each season of the year, depending on the season. But yeah, so that's what we do, man. We train quarterbacks and try to get them ready for Friday night, Saturdays, or Sunday.
And as you're continuing to train the quarterbacks, you look at the success and some of the quarterbacks that you've trained here. Malik Rozier from Faith Academy, the starting quarterback at the University of Miami, and a name that probably will sound pretty familiar to Georgia Bulldog fans, Jake Fromm. Tell us a little bit about the guys that you've had an opportunity to kind of give your guidance to and your wisdom and some of your expertise at QB Country.
Yeah, so, you know, it's fun. Our model is different in that we don't recruit kids. I've never recruited a kid. I've never said, hey, you need to come train with me. It's always been kind of referrals or word of mouth. and I believe in that. You know, I'm not a guy out here trying to poach kids or trying to pull kids from wherever. I just, you know, we love doing what we do. We know our role. We know we're a small part of it. But yeah, we've had success, and we've had you know, in our room we've had success, and we've kind of helped mold some kids kind of from, you know, middle school all the way up. It's funny, we'll have two big names in the ACC, guys we've had since beginning of high school careers, Malik Rozier at Miami, and then Daniel Jones at Duke, where a lot of people are saying maybe the first quarterback taken in the draft when he declares. And then in the SEC, Jake Fromm since his freshman year in high school, Georgia, obviously. And then Jake Bentley is a guy trained to get this offseason, you know, kid of South Carolina. So what's starting to happen is a lot of our guys are just starting to grow up, and we've been fortunate enough to continue to train them and, you know, keep them down to earth when they go through these situations that are, you know, that are very that are some people have a hard time handling, you know, the success of scholarship offers, of getting recruited. Sometimes there's contentment there, and we try to shake that up and say, hey, look, man, all that really is an opportunity to compete with 500 guys, and you know, you got to stay focused, and you got to understand this thing, this college thing is a long haul commitment, and you may not get your shot until that fifth year. So, you know, there's a lot that happens in those three, four, five years, and there's a lot of emotional stuff that happens, too. So it's just fun to be a part of it, kind of from the top to the bottom.
We're talking to David Morris, the founder of Quarterback Country here in Mobile, Alabama. And, of course, he's got 10 different locations throughout the United States. And, David, talk just a little bit about, not only are you training quarterbacks there, talk a little bit about the skill position. I know you've had some people that work with receivers. So when a quarterback comes in there, he's going to have plenty of people to throw to.
We have a wide receiver program. We've had it for years. Recently, in the past 16 months, we kind of branded it, you know, wide receiver country. My thought on that is, look, we as quarterbacks, we better be in chemistry and in communication with our receivers. And so what we do, we essentially have receivers just come out. So, you know, quarterbacks will bring their receivers out, and today, this morning, we'll probably see 20 receivers, and I'll coach them up, and yeah, they'll get a lot of work. And, you know, essentially, we are hitting things that these guys are going to be hitting at school, but we're really kind of breaking down the mechanics of it and the details of it. So it's something, you know, there's not many ways to run a hitch. You're going to run a hitch versus off coverage, and it's going to be, you know, 5 steps, 5 yards for a receiver, right? You know, and, you know, there's steps and depths involved in each route. And so, yeah, we take pride in, you know, coaching those guys up to, and then they also create an environment where we can have a better working environment, because we're going to be able to get more done if receivers are out here. But so, yeah, it's been great. And you know, been fortunate to be around a bunch of good receiver coaches and a bunch of good receivers over the years.
You know, David, as an old school guy, and when you go back and you've been coaching for almost 40 years as I have, one of the things that we didn't like when I first got into coaching, we didn't want anybody messing with our players. And that has evolved. That has evolved into a situation where we have people like yourself who now, I think, this younger generation of coaches and the wiser coaches are so appreciative of the job that you do. I don't know if this would have worked 35 years ago because of the mindset that was there. But now, talk just a little bit about your relationship with high school coaches, because I'm amazed at it because of the job, the PR work that you do and the way you handle it.
You know, it's such a important question, and I believe that high school football coaches across America are some of the most important people in our country's history and in our country's future. I don't think that I know that, and I grew up in football, and I some of my coaches helped impact my life. Really good man, Paul Crane, Joe Ahrensburg, Pat Ahrensburg, these guys at McGill when I was there, just incredible man. You know, Phil Griffin, Coach Repole. I mean, just guys that are that I owe a lot to, you know. And so I know, I mean, I'm not guessing on this. I know how important these high school coaches are. And so really what we do is just different, right? I mean, the thing that none of us should ever say is that's my kid. You know, like, I mean, I train a lot of kids, and I see them, I may see some kids, you know, 30 times a year in separate training environments. And I'll never say that's my kid. You know what I mean? That is a kid, and I owe it to him to give it all I got for him. And a high school coach will do it the same way. He's going to give that kid everything he has. And so, you know, I just think it's awesome to have people that are giving these kids all they got, you know. And you know, so this is my vocation. You know, I mean, I'm a teacher, I'm a coach, and I can use my experiences, good, bad, positive, negative, mountaintop and valley, to help give these kids a little bit more perspective and give them some discipline. But our role with high school coaches is we're very much in communication with them. We don't step on toes. You know, if they're going to do a punch step out of the gun, then their kid at QB Country is going to be doing a punch step, right? If he's an under guy, he's going to be working a lot of under. If he's gun, he's going to be working a lot of gun. We try to make it, you know, to where they get to school, that they're going to be in a better situation. And I think that's the case. So it's very fragile, though, you know, and there's a lot of people that don't do it with the correct amount of subtlety. There's a lot of people that overstep their bounds in my world. A lot of independent guys that just don't understand, look, man, this is, you know, their role. And our role is people train with us, you know, on the side, you know. And so, yeah, man, we had three or four high school coaches in town this week, some local, some out of state. I talk to high school coaches every day, all day. So, I mean, these guys are some of my best friends and people that I've gobs of respect for. And I feel fortunate to be a part of it. But you're right. You know, 30 years ago, I don't know if it would have worked. You know, but it's just a matter of knowing your role and then just having great lines of communication.
We're speaking with Quarterback Country founder David Morris, who was a four-year letterman from 98 to 02 at Ole Miss. He was roommates with somebody named Eli Manning. And David, if you don't mind, we're getting ready to go into a break, and we want to see if we can hold you over to the next segment to kind of talk about the national Southeastern brand and where you all are branched out of, the different locations throughout the Southeast, as well as what you do in the Manning Passing Academy every single summer, and some of the individuals that you've worked with in the past that you are currently working with, and how their styles different with the different situations and the different coaches that they're a part of.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I got it. So I got to be on the field at 9 a.m. So I probably got to get off in 10 minutes, but that sounds great.
All right. We'll make sure that we get you off about 10 minutes till. Yeah, we will. We'll get you off, but we won't hold you over.
Five till.
That'll be good. I do want to ask you this real quick. Well, I'll wait. I'll hold on because it's something that's close to both David and myself. We're talking to David Morris, the founder of Quarterback Country, nationwide. It's not local, only is nationwide. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. We're visiting with David Morris, founder of Quarterback Country, and you folks in Sylacauga and around Alexander City and listening on WRFS 105.1 in the Big A, 106.5 in Sylacauga. This is a guy that has got a place, I would think, very close to you guys. I know there's one in Birmingham, if I'm not mistaken. We'll get with David on that in just a second. I want to tell a little story real quick about David Morris. I went up and watched him one day when he was just on a grass field up at Spring Hill College's campus. And I was more than amazed at how he started with A and goes all the way through Z, coaching quarterbacks. And I will say this, if you have a youngster who is a quarterback and he's young or he's older, it doesn't matter. If you think he's got some potential, you take him to David Morris at quarterback country. I can promise you this guy knows exactly what he's talking about and is as good as it gets when it comes to teaching quarterbacks. David, I do want to ask you this. I know you, like myself, have a close relationship with David Cutcliffe at Duke. And one of the things that I think one of the men that made a huge difference in your life and made a difference in my life as a young coach, because we were both young at the time, but I want you to just kind of share a little, just maybe one thing about David Cutcliffe that has stuck in your kind of your coaching methodology as you've advanced through the years.
Yeah, man, there's not one. There's a lot. When I first got to Ole Miss, it was Tommy Tuberville, Noam Lozano, who I'm very tight with both those guys still, and learned so much from those guys. But when Coach Cut came in, you know, he was at Tennessee with Peyton Manning.
Right.
And I kind of idolized Peyton because, you know, he is Peyton, and what he was doing at Tennessee was very – you kind of knew as a youngster growing up, I kind of knew what Peyton Manning was doing at Tennessee was, you know, once in a generation. You know, he was that good. From a young age, I mean, I studied these guys because I just loved it, you know. And so Coach Cutcliffe was Peyton's coach, and I was, like, you know, in awe of the guy because I was like, man, he's the guy who got him there. And so – anyway, it's one of those things that when he got there to Ole Miss, my true freshman year, man, that those first couple hours, you know, me and the starter at the time, Romero Miller, went and met with Coach Cut, and man, I tell you what, just from the first meeting, it was all business, but there was a level of expertise, a level of professionalism, a level of character there, and a level of depth that I've never heard at the quarterback position up to that point. And so really what he did is he introduced the depth of the position. And he made quarterback play. He kind of took the quarterback training aspect to another level that I hadn't yet to that point. I hadn't experienced that way. But there's one thing that comes to mind with Coach Cutcliffe is he's going to create an environment that is very intense and that is very – pressure packed. It is very high energy. He expects a lot of his quarterbacks, and you know, and that's a similar environment we're going to try to set. You know, there's times when, you know, young guys, you don't want to be in too intense, but this position is going to put you in intense situations that'll challenge you. And you know, one of two things is going to happen: you're going to perform or you're going to buckle. So, you know, it's important to train that way.
David, just want to thank you this morning for taking the time. I know you're getting ready to get on that practice field. How can people get in touch with you and go about looking at your website and register for Quarterback Country? You have 10 locations throughout the Southeast.
Yeah. So go to qbcountry.com. You can go on Twitter or Facebook. It's at qbcountry. And, you can register in Mobile. You know, I run this location. We got Ben Neal runs Birmingham. He's doing an outstanding job. Trains hundreds of quarterbacks up there. Intelligent, great coach. And then we're in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm just kind of giving some local spots in New Orleans. So we're kind of a southeastern company, but you can find all that stuff on the webpage. And we'd love to train your son and love to meet you guys. And so much of this thing is a relationship, and it's kind of the most fun part, right? So feel fortunate.
All right, get your hat on and get on the field, buddy.
I got it. Got that sunscreen ready.
Hey,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys. It means a lot. Appreciate
thanks a
that.
Lot.
Takes care, David. You know, you folks in Sylacauga, Alexander City, you can go up to Highway 280 and get to David's Quarterback Country. And if you've got a quarterback in Sylacauga, Alexander City, Childersburg, Talladega, that area up in there, if you're in Montgomery, all the great little athletes that are playing in the Montgomery area, you certainly want to take advantage of Quarterback Country. It is, I can promise you, I've got friends who have their sons involved in it. I've got fellow coaching friends who have sent their players to David Morris. And the difference that he makes in that quarterback position is almost beyond belief.
And he's taking his foundation again. 10 locations throughout the Southeast. He mentioned the one here in Mobile, Alabama. He's in Nashville, Tennessee, Jackson, Mississippi, Birmingham, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, Charlotte, North Carolina, New Orleans, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia, Orlando, Florida, and he mentioned the one in Plano in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So his branch, he's continued to branch out with the quarterback country brand. You look at three out of the last six national championship quarterbacks have come through QB country. Jake Fromm, a tremendous quarterback that the entire country got an opportunity to watch play last year. He continues to help develop and works with the high school coaches, Rick. You guys kind of harped on that and how important it was and is for him to work in conjunction, not against what the high school quarterback coach or high school coach is teaching, but work with. And I think that speaks volumes of the young people. He had Jack West under his tutelage this past year, and here's a young man that was a three-year starter for Saraland, has gone on to Stanford University. And I think that David Morris does a tremendous job. Had a chance to go out and watch him this week, and just was impressed by his willingness to work and teach the fundamentals from ground zero.
And that's what he does, too. And Dalton asked that off the air. He said, you know, is it fundamental? It is fundamentals. It's the root of quarterback play is what it is, and it's the foundation of that. And another thing is, you know, you look at some kids around here that we can vouch for, Kadarius Toney. He made a difference in what Kadarius Toney could do and did do as a quarterback for Blount High School. And now I think you're going to see that. I think you'll see that as Dan Mullen puts Kadarius Toney's skills into action at the University of Florida. We had a young man by the name of Hemp Sisson who played quarterback at Mountain Brook. Quarterback country, he told me while I was talking to him before our show and just talking to him to get him as a guest on the show, he said it's amazing the difference that quarterback country made in me becoming a quarterback. And you mentioned Jake Fromm. That's what more can you say? I mean, the guy's good.
Lyle locally. Another one that I know he's had an opportunity to work with 1 year ago, and Chance Newman, who is going on to Coffeyville. So the list goes on for young people he's had an opportunity, and being at the Manning Passing Academy, he gets a chance to see quarterbacks from all over the country and work with them. Right, so
he's working with another one at St. Paul. I think he's working with Jay Green, and that's another young man that you better keep your eye on. He's a kid that's got lots of potential and going to be somebody that's going to be on a lot of people's radar as this season moves on. We'll be back with more QB Country Talk and high school football talk right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Welcome back to Press Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. It's been too long since I've had this guy on, and I want all of our listeners, and of course, since we're throughout the state of Alabama now, I want all of our listeners to know that it's not because I hadn't tried to get Josh Niblett on. It's because he doesn't answer his phone but about once every five times. And the reason that is because he's always coaching. He's either coaching teachers or he's coaching everybody around. Josh is just that guy. He's that guy that's an encourager, and there's just no telling who he's teaching when I'm trying to call him. But I always love having Josh on, first of all, because he's my brother in Christ. That's most important. And second of all, because we got that connection with his daddy, and I love his daddy. His daddy's one of my favorite people of all time. And third and most importantly to most of the people out there, he's just one heck of a football coach who has dedicated his life to making a difference in young people's lives. And Josh, thank you for answering your phone for Corey. And I guess you've taken my name off of my phone number.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just caller ID helps a lot. But, man, thanks for having me on, man. It has been a little bit of a while since I've got to be on with you guys. I think a lot of you guys, you know that, have a lot of respect for you, your show, you know, and to be able to get on and talk about, you know, a lot of things like growing in Christ and football and athletic sports and kids. I mean, it's pretty special. So you guys got a pretty special show going on.
You know, Josh, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was your quarterback, Robbie Ashford, I think, had a baseball injury. And I was going through some notes, and I was kind of wondering what the update on him was. If I know there's going to be a lot of competition at quarterback regardless, but I just kind of wondered Robbie's status.
Well, he's ready to start camp, and, you know, I think he'll be full speed ready to go by the first game. I mean, in fall camp, you know, we'll have some prescribed how many throws he'll make each day, you know, the first week, the second week, and the third week, and then how far his distance is. So, but I think, you know, the way we got it laid out, you know, through our doctors and our orthopedic surgeons is, you know, we understand what we've got to do to make sure we got him ready to go, but also to be able to get him enough work to where, you know, he is ready to go. But, you know, we'll have some competition at that position. And, you know, Josh Lund is a guy that, you know, was a ninth grader last year that had to go through spring and all summer. And so I think it's created some depth at that position.
All right, we're having some trouble with Josh's phone. So what we're going to do, Josh, if you're still there, we're going to have to get a better connection with you because your phone's really breaking up. So we're gonna try to reconnect, and if we'll get Philip, if you'll call Josh again and tell him we're really having some problems with his phone. But the reason we asked that, Corey, is Robbie Ashford got hurt in had a baseball injury last year, and I know that you know, there's going to be a lot of competition there at that quarterback position. He's just one of the ones in the hunt.
Not only competition at the quarterback position, but competition from the starting offensive lineman position. And yeah. I know Coach Niblett will speak on that here momentarily when we get him back on the line. So anytime you're the two-time defending 7A state champion and your name is Hoover, there's a lot of people who are gunning for you, but Coach Niblett does a wonderful job of having his team prepared.
I think we've got him back on, Josh. Your daddy must have bought that phone. That's one of the ones we probably.
Well, yeah, I hear you. You have some good ones, man. I tell you what.
Well,
he's talking my about Robbie. You know, we've got a prescribed. I don't know where my call got dropped, but you know, we've got to prescribe things that we've got to do with him to get him ready to go, and he'll be ready to go. I mean, first day we start on Monday. I mean, he'll be ready to take snaps. So, you know, we've got to prescribe how many reps he'll get as far as throwing the ball and how far he'll throw it. You know, each day for week one, week two, and week three. So I think he'll be ready to go. But, you know, Josh Lundy's a guy that's gotten, you know, reps in the spring and the summer and has created a lot of competition at the position and created some depth. So, you know, we're excited, you know, what we got going on at that position.
You're replacing four starting offensive lineman, Coach, and sometimes when you're able to do that, you're really waiting to see who's going to step up when the live action comes about. And your schedule is nothing to be frowned upon and has never been frowned upon because you go out and you seek the best teams in the country, and it's sometimes flip-flop. The best teams in the country seek out Hoover because they know they're going to get the best brand and the best possible football game imaginable. Talk to us about your offensive line depth as well as depth at other positions that may be a concern for you.
Well, you know, O-line, I mean, I think the thing, too, is we had a lot of staff turnover this year. So, you know, I've had to hire like five or six new guys. But, you know, sometimes change is good. And, you know, and you have to, you know, it's one of those things where you gotta use it as a positive instead of a negative, and, you know, try to be a way to try to create some connection between your players and your coaches. And so, you know, O-line-wise, I mean, I hired Zach Glaze, and he's been a guy that's come in here. I think he's done a really, really good job of creating a connection with our offensive line because we got four new guys up front. But I'm really excited about those guys. Those guys had a great spring and a great summer. It's a good-sized group, pretty athletic. But the thing about it is all of them respect each other and make each other better every day. So, you know, depth-wise, you know, I feel like, you know, offensively, you know, we've got a lot of depth at receiver and we've got a lot of depth at running back. I think the thing for us is we've got to be able to hold up the line-wise. We're not as big up front as we have been, but we're extremely fast. So, you know, we've got to create some more depth there, a little bit more experience.
And Coach Niblett, like I say, Rick said he might have got that cell phone from his dad. We keep losing the connection with Coach Niblett, and we'll continue to try to improve that. Because, again, this is Hoover High School. Some people call it Hoover U. They defeated McGill-Tulane a year ago in the state championship game. But they have a lot of talent coming back this year. And 7-on-7, we want to ask him about that and the kind of production that they were able to get in 7-on-7. Because when you look at the Hoover National Tournament, there were two local teams that played in the championship game. Spanish Fort and McGill-Tulane played in. It was an all-Mobile Baldwin County final in the 7-on-7 Hoover Invitational Tournament. So with that being said, Rick, I think it's going to be interesting to see the depth and the progression coming from the summer to see where he wants to be when they open up on national television against Pinson Valley and another good quarterback in Bo Nix.
You know, that's going to be interesting to see Hoover and Pinson Valley, and because two really good football coaches in that football game. And I'm anxious to see Bo Nix, because I'm going to tell you, all the stuff that has come from a national perspective is that he's one of the top-rated quarterbacks in the country. Well, you know, when you play high school football in the area that he's going to be playing in and opening up with a team like Hoover, it's going to be interesting to see how he does there. All right, let's try Josh one more time. Josh, are you there?
Yeah, I am on my wife's phone. I'm not going to tell you what service I use. That would probably be good for that group.
Josh, I want to talk about George Pickens. To me, and this is just me, as I watch, you know, I'm probably like your dad. I spend a lot of my time watching. I don't watch a whole lot of TV. I watch a whole lot of film. And I'm just about blown away by this kid.
Well, you and me both, and I work with him every day. So he never ceases to amaze me, man. You know, number one, he's a great kid. You know, number two, he just loves to have fun. You know, he's a guy that, you know, at practice, he loves to have fun. I mean, he just enjoys the game. He's a highly competitive kid. But he's a kid that, you know, every day, I mean, he worries about whether he's the best or not. So he wants to try to work to be the best. His ball skills are the best I've ever coached. And I think that's what makes him so special. He'll do anything. You know, he's not a guy that's going to pout about this or pout about that. That's what I love about him. And then, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you want him on your team. I mean, he gives you an opportunity to make some huge plays. And if the ball's in the air, man, he's got one thing in mind. It's my ball. And he goes and gets it. So, you know, when you got a guy like that, it makes it pretty special offensively.
All right, Josh, we're coming up on a break. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold you over, if you don't mind. And we've got several things we want to talk to you about. We'll be back with more PSR and Josh Niblett right here from FM Talk 106.5 throughout the Southeast.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. And, you know, we don't, you know, Corey, we've been doing this a long time. And we talk to coaches from all over. I mean, just about every location in the Southeast. Don't get a chance to talk to this guy as much as I'd like to. And I, you know, somebody told me one time, he said, "You are the president of the Josh Niblett fan club." Well, I probably am. I probably am, and I'm proud of that. I've had to talk to him in years past about the way he wears his hat. The thing about it is, even though we don't see each other very often, I love this guy, and I don't miss a chance to hug his neck anytime I can. But the thing that I admire the most about him is the way he treats his players. He treats them like they're his not his children, his young men. And the thing I'm understanding now from more people in that community is that it's just not the football team, Coach. It's just not the basketball team. Josh treats every student like they're a member of his family.
And I tell you, Rick, he treated me like family. I covered the state championship game against McGill-Tulane this past season as part of the AHSAA radio network, and he just gave me all the information that I asked for and just did so in a manner that was so, so admirable to me and made my job so much easier. So, Coach, I just want to publicly thank you for making my job easier and preparing for the state championship game. And, you know, it was wonderful to sit and watch you play, the way that you talk to me, the things that you prepared me to watch for is exactly how that game unfolded. So thank you very much for giving me that information again.
Well, thank you guys, man. I appreciate the words. You know, I mean, every day we wake up, we got a choice to make. I mean, it's not about circumstances, but it's about choice. And, you know, you got to make a decision every day and try to pay it forward, you know. And so when you pay it forward, you're not expecting anything back. So, you know, I've been blessed. I've been truly blessed. God's blessed me tremendously. And there's probably people out there that go, sure, you'd say you're blessed because you've been successful. But, you know, I've also been years where we weren't as successful. There's also been things I've had to deal with in my life that maybe, you know, you didn't want to wake up to every day. But, you know, God blesses all of us. And he blesses all of us with one thing. That's a choice. And, you know, when we wake up every day, your heart's either filled with love or your heart's filled with hate. And you got to find a way every day to make an impact on people's lives for his glory. And that's what I try to do. And I've been blessed with that.
You know, you're right, because it is all about him. And that's kind of the MO that we try to live by. And we know you do too. Talk just a little bit now as you look forward to that opening game of the season. Quarterback who's got lots of attention throughout the country, and Bo Nix, and of course Patrick is his daddy, his coach, and that should be an exciting matchup for you guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting around here. You can tell everybody's getting excited. You can tell our players are getting excited. You know, it's like I told them, you got a check box, and you know, off season check, you know, spring training check, summer check, you know, now it's fall camp, and so. As it gets closer, it's going to get here quicker, and so we can't have any wasted days. We got to dominate the day and get ourselves prepared. And we can't make it about them. We got to make it about us. And you know, and so you know, and Bo, but he's an extremely unbelievable quarterback. Does a really good job at getting the ball out. He's also a great runner. You know, and he understands where he needs to go with the ball. He understands the matchups and he understands the leverage. You know, and I think you know when you play for your dad like I did. I mean, you have a unique connection. Which you know what each other's thinking, and then you know sometimes even when I was playing with my dad, I'd be like, hey, you know, won't you let me call this? And I'm sure Pat and Bo have that relationship also.
And, that didn't work for you and your dad, I can promise you.
Well, we butted heads a few times, of course, and I'm sure they do too. But you know, it's something you don't ever forget. It's a special bond, and you know we understand that, but. You know, for us, like I said, it's got to be about us. We got to play extremely fast on the defensive side of the ball. We got to come away with some turnovers. You know, we really feel good about how good we can be special teams wise, and then offensively, if we can be as explosive as we think we can be, then you know we'll be fine. But you know, when you go into a game like that, I mean, the biggest thing is you got to be prepared. Unbelievable, but you got to prepare your mind. You got to make sure you keep your emotions in check. We'll be on ESPN. It'll be 11 o'clock game, so you know it's going to be hot. So you got to do a really good job of taking care of yourself leading up to that point. But yeah, it'll be fun, and to play against, you know, I think the best quarterback in the state will be exciting.
You talk about exciting, and you just mentioned it. Special teams wise, you all have a specialist. Talk to us about your kicker, who's verbally committed to the University of Alabama.
Well, Will Reichard, you know, number one, like I said, he's an unbelievable kid. And people, you know, may want to know what makes him so special. And it's not that, you know, he can kick, you know, 50-plus field goals consistently. It's not that he kicks the ball in the end zone. It's not that he averages probably 42 yards a punt and do it any way you want it done. What makes him so special is he's a guy that works extremely hard. He wants to be he's a leader on our team. You know, we're in a weight room, he's getting after it. If we're out on the field sprinting, doing agility drills, he's getting after it. So he's a guy looking to get better. You know, it's an unbelievable story. He's a guy that him and his dad traveled together, you know, and his dad would take him to kicking camps. And then, you know, his dad would be there. I mean, when he was in the fourth grade, he had a kicking net on the sideline kicking. And so then his dad, you know, died of cancer. And this happened probably about 4 years ago. And Will had, you know, his situation. And, you know, and that was a tough situation for the kid, but he persevered through it,
had a lot of us around him. And but the thing about it is he loves kicking, and he has a passion for it. He has an energy for it. I know his dad's proud of him, but he's going to have a great opportunity to have a great future, and I think he's got a chance to play on Sundays.
Non-region schedule, Coach. Pinson Valley to open up, then you St. John's, D.C., and you end the year with IMG Academy. So your non-region schedule is tough. Right in the middle of the season, I do believe you're open at the end of September. How beneficial is that for you as a head coach?
Oh, it'll be beneficial. I already know it's going to be. We don't have to get to that point and realize, ooh, we need a break. You can already see on the front end of the schedule that you're going to need a break. And, you know, we just can't have any letdowns. We got to understand that, you know, we can't worry about when the break is. We just got to know when it gets there. We got to use it wisely, get ourselves healed up, get rested up for the back half of the schedule. But, I mean, the first four games, I mean, you talk about coming out of the gate. I mean, you're playing four quarterbacks that are, you know, the best in the country. You know, I mean, St. John's just got the number one quarterback from Hawaii about a month ago transfer in. And then you got Tyson from, you know, and then, you know, you got Lib and, you know, at Thompson and, you know, Tyson at Hewitt Trustful. I mean, that's four back-to-back quarterbacks. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us, and then, you know, we'll have one more game, then we'll have a break. And then, you know, I know in the back end you got, you know, Spain Park, you got Vestavia back-to-back on the road, and then finish up with IMG. So I guarantee you we'll be battle-tested. We just got to stay healthy, and, you know, and our kids are excited because I make schedule for the kids. I mean, this is for them, and for them to have an opportunity to say, hey, we're the best.
Hey, Josh, one of the things that I ask, and you know, let me tell you, I don't think very many radio guys would ask you this, but I will. Why are you playing IMG?
Why?
Yeah.
Because, you know, just – well, and I mean, the situation came up last year to where between you and I that, you know, we were looking for a game. We struggled
right.
trying to find a game. And,
right.
I mean, we couldn't find a game. I mean, we couldn't find anybody to play us. And then, you know, the other teams that we wanted to try to play would call them, and they were on a different two-year deal than us, and then the date was different. So IMG was the only one that fit us, and, you know,
right.
they said they would come to us. And so we played them last year, and a lot of people was like, why are you playing them? And then our kids kind of heard that. You
right.
know? So, you know, we turn around and we start playing them last year, and, you know, and I mean, we get to the halftime, and I'm like, guys, we can play with these guys, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we ended up outscoring them 23-9, and, I mean, one of their scores was a kickoff return for a touchdown. The other one was a pick back to the one. So we should have won the game and had a chance to win the game.
Right.
When it rolled back around this year, I mean, they called us and said, hey, we'll come back to you. We want to come because the environment that our kids got to experience was something they'll never get to experience ever. And, you know, we felt like it was a game that made us better last year. I really felt like if we hadn't played that game last year, I don't know if we'd have finished like we finished.
Well,
and I think we grew from it. Our kids now are excited about it. We'll come out of the gate and play this year. Our kids, when we get to that point, will be excited and have a lot of confidence in what we're doing.
Well, you know why I asked that question.
I know.
I mean, that's one where we feel like a lot of us old heads, and I would imagine your dad probably feels similar to this, a lot of us don't like those guys coming into Alabama and just offering a kid to come there and play, or
yeah.
coming into Georgia, coming into Tennessee or somewhere else. And they pretty much do that. And they don't hide that fact, I don't think. And I would doubt that they could get one from Hoover, but they may could get one from Coffee Springs.
Well, I think what you've seen too is you've seen a lot of kids go and then come back home.
That's right.
You know,
you're right.
You know, I see that.
Asa Martin, for example.
I mean, kids from Georgia, kids from Alabama. I mean, they're, you know, they'll go for a year and then they come back home. And so, I mean, I'm sure it's still happening. But you know, the thing about it is like, you know, when it boiled down to it, it was about trying to play the best team we could play to make us better.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm, you know, my whole deal is I can't. I mean, I can't govern what, you know, this rule or that rule or,
right.
you know, what's fair and not fair. But I know I can do everything I can. All I know is they could put 11 out there, you know, and they
right.
can put more than that.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was a deal that made us, you know, confident last year and really helped us. And, I'm hoping it'll help us this year. But I understand where everybody's coming from. I do. I understand that. And at first, I think I probably had that same attitude toward it. And then when it got to a point where we couldn't find a game, I'd rather play somebody than not play anybody. And at that point in time of the year, and so I thought it was a great experience for us last year by them coming in here.
That's a good answer. Well, very well answered.
Coach Niblett, just want to thank you for taking the time out of your Saturday as you're preparing Monday to start at 6 a.m. with your morning practice to try to embark on the 2018 Blue Map. And just want to thank you again for being part of the Prep Sports Report and everything that we do and the values that we adhere to here on the Prep Sports Report. Thanks again, Coach.
Well, thank you guys. Love you guys. Appreciate what you do, man. And, you know, like I said before, you know, when you get up in the mornings, make a choice. You know, make a choice to be elite, give a better version of yourself. But God bless everybody and sales up.
Take care. Josh, love you, pal. We'll see you soon.
Love you.
Take care, buddy.
God bless.
That's one of the best in this ever coached this game in this state. I can promise you that. Josh Niblett, Hoover. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, presented by our good friends at Alpha.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
All right, welcome back to PSR. We'll say good morning to all our buddies in the River Region listening to us on WRFS 105.1 Lake Martin and the Big Yay 106.5 in Sylacauga. Appreciate everything Lee Perryman and Michael Brannon have done to get us involved with Radio Alabama. I do want to congratulate Michael Brannon. Michael is recently become engaged, and we're excited. We are so excited for Michael and his future wife. It's just two great, really, really good people that God's brought together, and we're excited for Michael and all the folks there at the Big Yay in Sylacauga. Tell you what, let's do. David, did Mark Lasseter come see you last week?
I believe we did have a visitor. Who's out in that truck? And here comes Coach pops out.
Yeah.
But you can't hide those Bayside.
he's a commitment boy. He's up in he's in Chattanooga this morning with Terrell Owens, and as he does his little. Well, it's really a big deal. It really is a big deal what Terrell's doing. It's just I don't agree with the way he's handled things, but that's my own personal stuff.
Now, I read his article. He has his reasons, but I don't get it either.
Yeah. What we got going on out there today, pal?
Well, we're talking about football, so I figure if you come in and buy a new car from us in the next couple weeks, we're going to give you a 40-inch flat-screen TV so you can watch the Tide open up against Louisville and or if you want to watch that other team, I guess you can catch them too.
All right, David, it's been nice talking to you. We appreciate you coming on, and we hope that people will come by and see you there. That other team? Are you kidding me?
Do you understand? Georgia, right?
I love it.
I tell you right now,
I love it, David.
You won't be on this show much longer. I can tell you that. You won't even call it. You won't even call out our name. That's bad. That's bad.
Well, who was it did that? Was it, I can't remember which coach would never say it was a team on the other side of the state. But anyway, we got great deals. I've actually got four or five cars on the lot right now. You bring me $1,000, no credit check, $250 a month for a year or two, depending on the vehicle, and you're driving. So
that's good stuff.
I don't think anybody in town can top that right now.
That's good stuff. Got easy financing, nothing's no problem.
The easy financing, like I said, I've got $2,000 cars. I got $30,000 cars, so we'll get you done anywhere in between.
All right, pal. Well, talk to us a little bit about how they can get in touch with you.
You can call us at 251-338-9019. We're in Crichton. A lot of people know it as the Apex Loan Building. We've been here since about Mardi Gras. And we have Premier Motorsports Mobile.com. You can go online, fill out a credit app, and be done. It's that simple.
All right, pal. Appreciate it. Take care. Yep. We look forward to seeing you soon, pal.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. Let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to Joe. Joe, how you doing, pal?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you
ready for some football?
You know what? After all these years, I'm ready to watch a little bit, yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something. Why can't UMS find a 10th game? There's so many schools around here in Mississippi and Florida and Louisiana, and they ought to be able to find a game. I mean, St. Martin's or Pensacola or Resurrection or somebody ought to be able to play them the 10th game. That's kind of a bad deal with only four home games this year. What do you think?
Well, I can promise you it's not because they hadn't tried. I mean, you know that. I mean, it's Terry's probably called everybody and that he can call. They just won't play them. And a lot of it's the private school, public school stuff. But the other thing is schedules have been pretty much set now for a while, and it could be an odd year where they're on a 2-year schedule and can't fit one in now. So I don't know. I really, when I stepped away, Joe, and so I don't know much about what's going on schedule wise. It wouldn't take me long to find out, but
I think Terry called every school in State Alabama 4A, and none of them would play him on the 10th week of the season.
Right.
And I know Mobile Christian is going over to Mississippi and playing the school of Pulaski or something like that. But there ought to be somebody that would play UMS on that 10th game. That's not good to have only four home games. I don't like that.
Well, and Joe, I don't want to be a naysayer, but I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid if things don't get better with what's going on with the court case that we don't talk about, it could be even harder in the future.
Yeah, I agree with you, but that's not right. I just don't understand it. I mean, it's just crazy. You ought to, Savarese ought to say, you got to play these guys. You got to have 10 games a year. Lord have mercy.
Well, Savarese, he's not a guy that can say that. I mean, that's not his job. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, I know.
That's just, they can't
do that. Anyway, we'll see what happens. UMS got 3 road games, first 3 games.
Yeah, St. Paul's and then Mobile Christian and then go to Andalusia. So it's,
that's going to be tough. And Hillcrest Evergreen's their homecoming game. They're loaded.
Yeah. And Andalusia's down. They lost a lot. Andalusia
they lost everybody.
A lot. So, but St. Paul's
will
be a good one.
We'll see what happens. St. Paul's is going to be good with Jay Green, Green out there.
That's going to be a good football game.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Corey, I don't know why. And I promise you, Terry has tried and tried and tried to get a 10th game, but it's just tough. Schedule's getting tough, and it's going to get tougher if we travel down this road to see what's going to happen with this court case. I do want to mention something from North Alabama. Wade Lipscomb, former athletic director at Huntsville High School, passed away this week. Wade Lipscomb was one of the innovators in high school sports. He was a guy that he led the Huntsville City Schools and as their athletic director on 2 different occasions, and a dear friend of ours here. I've known Wade for 40 plus years, and it's going to be a huge loss for the city of Huntsville. Our sincere blessings go out to Wade's family, and that's a loss for the entire state of Alabama, but particularly for the city of Huntsville. Wade Lipscomb passes away, and he'll be tough to replace, I can tell you that. And we've experienced that more than we won't experience it this year. We've lost some really good people in high school sports, and Wade Lipscomb was certainly one of the guys that really carried high school sports. I know a lot of people want to know what's going on at Davidson, and I know, guys, that there's been more families join in that lawsuit. Dalt, I know you talked about, you saw the video, and it was not something that was real pleasing to your eyes.
Yeah, no, it was this newest video that came out this week that showed a group of, I believe, made up mostly upperclassmen beating up on this one kid whose family has now put out a lawsuit against the Mobile County Public School System. And just the video in itself, which of course any video lacks context from what happened around that, but the video where you see this kid getting jumped on by multiple other players and taking their belts off and whipping him with the belt, and he keeps getting back up and trying to fight back, and then they keep throwing him right back down and jumping on him. The video itself, pretty brutal to watch, and you just have to wonder, you don't know what time of day this happened, but if it was on the campus, you got to wonder why some adult wasn't around or didn't show up, because it was at least a 3-5 minute video, and just watching the video itself, pretty hard to watch, Coach.
Well, that's unfortunate, and again, I hadn't seen the video. I will watch it, but again, it doesn't tell you where it took place. It does not tell you if it was at a school function or a non-school function. I certainly hope that people will be cognizant of the fact that we don't know anything about where this video took place, and we don't know that it took place during a football an organizational situation. So we want to stay away from that. But at the same time, the video obviously is something that is not something we want to see young people involved in. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the kids are wearing what looks like school uniforms. They're not in athletic gear or anything like that. So, and it takes place outside. It's not inside of a room, but it looks like school buildings surrounding them as this beating is taking place. But tough to watch for sure.
Wow. If you go back to 2013, most people throughout the state know that Jasper and Coleman had an intense rivalry. As a matter of fact, there was an on-field fight between coaches, which is should never happen. Absolutely should never happen. And several coaches were forced to resign as a result of that. So for the first time here in 2018, these two teams will open the season at, I think it's Oliver Woodward Stadium in Coleman, unless it's changed its name. But that will be, I think, Thursday, August the 23rd, Jasper and Coleman. It used to be Old Walker County. Now they've become just Jasper High School, and they're going to open the season at Oliver Woodard Stadium right there in Coleman on Thursday, August the 23rd. So that's a good thing. We're excited about that and excited for those two communities. A good rivalry, and I know it'll be one that will be intense but will be much more friendly than it has been in the past. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5, presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are in the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home for Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. You know, guys, as Corey mentioned to us, everybody starts football practice on Monday, and whether it's AM or PM. And so it's time that we talk just a little bit about the ultimate teammate. And we're going to use Romans, the 8th chapter, the 30 and 31st verse this morning. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also called justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You know, guys, as coaches and athletes, we face adversity every single day. Specifically for coaches, this adversity seems to come out not just from the opponents on our schedules, but from a variety of sources. And whether we are dealing with players, circumstances, injuries, parental issues, or whatever, we all need to know and to have some reassurance or confirmation that we are doing a good job. In today's passage in Romans 8, 30, 31, Paul tells us that we are called to be coaches. Some people are called to be businessmen or healthcare professionals, but God has summoned us to coach. Thus, by reason, that means that we are called to serve Him in this capacity. If we are to serve the Lord as coaches, and if we understand that God's love for us is eternal, it stands to reason that He will always take care of us. He will always do what is best for us. As a coach, none of us would put a player in a position to fail unless a life lesson was involved, and the same is true of our Lord and Savior. When He allows us to go through hardships or failures, it is to help us grow. Jesus promises He will look after us if we remain in Him. And He does that in, as best I can remember, in John 15, the fourth verse. And this does not mean that we will never have issues again, but it does mean that whenever something comes our way, He will be in front of us, guiding us and allowing it to happen to us for His purposes. Either way, we have the best coach a player could want. So the next time you are facing discouragement, whether it be in your family, in your job, or in your personal life, you want to keep that in mind. You want to know that God is guiding us, and you will have that adversity. And repeat this, something that I've learned to do, and sometimes it's not easy, but it is that little saying, if God is for us, who can be against us? Guys, this week's going to be a learning experience for a lot of people, but you know, the faith that we have will help us confront some of those issues that we got to deal with this week.
Again, faith is so very important. And again, like you said, Rick, if God is for us, who can be against us? Sometimes you wake up each and every day. Coach mentioned earlier, Coach Niblett said, you know, you can wake up loving or you can wake up angry. And sometimes when you have that choice, you sometimes make the wrong choice. And the great thing about having an opportunity to do it all over again is when you wake up each and every morning is that choice to do it the right way. And sometimes when we've done wrong, we do have an opportunity to do it the right way. And we don't all the time have to worry about who's wronged us, because we know eventually God has had, through His grace and His grace and mercy, has us covered. And in that situation, Rick, for each and every athlete who is starting the journey of school this week, I know the Mobile County Public School Systems, they start on Monday, and I know the teachers are going to need a lot of grace and mercy. I know the students are going to need a lot of grace and mercy. And if God is for all the students, faculty, and staff, who can be against them? And we just want to wish everyone a successful school year 2018-2019.
You know, we got an update from Coach Godfrey this morning, and for the Love of You Day, had over 3,000 at the fairgrounds last Saturday. Over 1,300 underprivileged kids received school uniforms, backpacks, underwear, socks, and school supplies. For the medical area, over 1,500 visited, just, you know, at no cost. In addition, there was food there all day. It was a great success. Do want to mention Monique Henley. Monique Henley, and Corey reminded us of this last week, Monique Henley and the Rain group, she's the head coach of that group, and she's the one that puts everything in motion. It's the third time in Mobile. She also does this in Birmingham and Opelika. So, you know, we are so thankful and so blessed to have her in our midst. Thank you, Monique Henley and the Rain group, for everything that you have done for so many and continue to minister to so many in your own way. We were talking a little bit about Robert Brazil to start the show. You don't want to miss this tonight, folks. You want to watch ESPN Dalt. Corey, I know you guys will be doing that. And to watch, to see his dad present him, and that's going to be something that I really just can't wait to be a part of that. I usually try to go to church on Saturday night. I'm going to miss church tonight in order to watch this. It's something that... I even kind of get a little emotional about it, thinking about it, because of our love for Robert Brazil. But I know you two guys are going to be watching that as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm for sure going to be tuning in. And it was great. I was watching the Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. And, you know, they have the whole crew there, Collinsworth, Al Michaels, and was it Lisa Salters down on the field who gets those interviews, and to see Brazil talk for a couple minutes and say both of his parents there. To that his dad awarded him that gold jacket last night, and it's just amazing to see, and long overdue for Brazil to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Going to be an outstanding time tonight by friends and family. I know there are several Mobilians that have made the trip up to Canton, Ohio, and I know Robbie Baker from Channel 5, he's up there, and he will be giving everyone an update. So if you have an opportunity to listen and watch what Robbie Baker has, the in-depth coverage and the inside of Robert Brazil's enshrinement, it'll be a wonderful and once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for everyone involved.
Okay, guys, are we supposed to break the news today, or are we going to break the news later?
We're going to break the news later.
We're going to break the news later, huh?
Yeah, we're going to break the news later.
There's news coming from Prep Sports Report that two amigos have gotten on some white horses and rode off into the sunset. So
let's say it. It'll be over the next couple weeks.
That's right.
That's
right.
For sure. But there will be a lot of football talk, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Yes. Much more football talk coming to the Mobile Baldwin County area.
There's nothing else you want to say?
Nothing else we're going to say besides tune in.
Tune in radio.
That's right.
Okay, guys. Well, I'm glad that I know a little bit about that now, and I've got some things I'm going to say about that too at a later time. They might not be kind. No, I'm kidding.
They're always kind coming from Rick Cleveland. What do you mean?
Oh, guys, thank you. It's been a great day. Great show. Love getting Josh Niblett on and talking high school football. Hey, thank y'all for being a part of Prep Sports Report. Appreciate you. And know this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. See you same place, same time next week.